I am Vinny Tutterton, folks. Here we are again on the Saturday show. Your good intentions have been stolen. But don't worry. I'm here to help you get them back. You may be soft and succulent when we start this process. Just like the guy we're going to talk to today. Boy, was he soft and succulent. Jesus Christ. But before long, you will be lean and mean, and that's a guarantee. Folks, on Saturday, I like to talk to people who were basically down and out when it comes to health and fitness, and now they're lean and mean. And this guy has been on the show before. It's been fun and interesting to watch his progress online. The reason I see him online is because he's on Twitter, and I hang around Twitter, and basically I will answer, unless it's something really crass or stupid or something, I will answer just about every question thrown at me on Twitter every day. This guy's been around, been watching him just shrink over the years. Online, he goes as Phone Boy. He actually now has a podcast called Phone Boy Speaks.
I've actually had it as long as your podcast, if you can believe that. Almost.
He's had it for 10 years. Who knew? Folks, I'm talking. You heard him right there. Damian Welch Abernathy. How are you doing, Pumpkin?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Vinny? And the E is silent, which throws everybody off. That's why everybody calls me Phone Boy. It's much easier. But either way, I'm good with it.
By the way, you actually have a broadcaster's voice, unlike me. Right. I just sound like some yokel, and you have that really special kind of voice that radio guys have. Did you spend time in radio? How does that work?
So the funny thing is that's actually how I got the name Phone Boy. But I was only on the radio for a very brief time in 1996. I was a call screener on a radio program. The host forgot my name. He called me the Phone Boy, as in the boy who answers the phones. And, you know, the rest is history. And that's what I've been going on online ever since. I have not done, I have not been on the radio for a while, but, as much as I would love to do that, but, you know, now, of course, there's podcasting, and of course there's, spending every, it seems like every other day I'm on a Zoom call doing a session or something. So, I've gotten a lot of practice, and it helps to have the professional podcasting equipment and all of that. So it takes practice, and the more you do it, the better you get at it and the more confident you get at it, and you also spend a little time on audio equipment there, and I know you got, I can see you've got some good quality stuff there, it's amazing kind of what you can get. What they had back in the 90s was the mics are all pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? The mics are all, they haven't changed too much, except now they've got USB inputs or whatever, but it just takes practice. That's really all it is. But that was why I did the podcast, was so that I could speak better.
Interestingly enough, I've been podcasting for as long as you, and I'm not speaking any better than I was when I started, which doesn't make sense to me. When I started doing this, I was in a professional studio at Anna Vecchino's garage. You know, she's one of the top voiceover specialist probably in the United States, and you might even say on the planet. The woman's voice is heard around the world. And we started the podcast in her garage, in her studio. I say her garage, but if you saw it at the time, it was an actual studio. And at some point, I had to kind of move it around a bit. When we started doing more shows, and Anna couldn't do as many shows anymore, it was just becoming a drag. Between her work schedule and everything else, and she was raising a daughter still in, daughter's graduated college now. That's how long we've been doing this. Daughter was still young. So she started going once a week. Now sometimes I could get her twice a week, but it's interesting. I had to go out and start buying equipment. And the reason I use the mic I use right now, people ask me all the time, it's like, we see the mic you use. Is that the best mic out there? It's like, no. It's the best mic for me. And what that means is, at one time, and Damian, you may remember this, when I was in Woodland Hills, no matter when I scheduled a podcast, somehow there was going to be a leaf blower or a weed eater cranked up. Some kind of two-stroke engine was going to crank up in the background at some point in my neighborhood, and sometimes in my own yard. And I just had to find a mic that just blocks out everything except what's going in front of it right now. And that, you know, so when people say, what kind of mic is like, you need to go read up. And what type of board? You know, I had a different board before this, but the Rodecaster thing made it easy. It was an easier thing to deal with, right? You could fade things in and out. So yeah, over the years, things have changed. How about you?
Yeah, it's the same, right? When I started, I mean, I was recording my podcast on my phone, which you could do, but the sound quality is not great. And really over the last couple of years, because I've had to do more things online because not traveling so much anymore. So I've had better equipment. I went from not having anything to getting a Rodecaster and getting a similar mic, right? So it doesn't pick up everything that's like going on like around me, but it gets in front of me pretty well. So and I think all of this stuff, you have to kind of work with the environment you have, and sometimes rooms are echoey, whatever. And you know, when I'm doing webinars, which I do all the time, I'm also having to coach other people on like, okay, so here's what do you have? All right, let's figure out how we can make this sound the least terrible. And you know, there's because you know, some people just have laptop mics, and there's really not much you can do with that. But if you're going to be screaming into a mic for, you know, for hours on end, like you do, then yeah, you want to have a good mic. And you can, the nice thing is that the mics aren't even that expensive anymore. You can get a really good mic for maybe under $100 and, you know, just get some headphones and that kind of thing. And you end up it's just like, if you actually care and spend a little bit of time and do it, you can actually sound pretty good. And yeah, there's all kinds of things, you know, you don't need a Rodecaster necessarily, but having some sort of, you know, audio interface is probably not a bad thing. Now it also helps that my son is in college to study to do sound design and he for video games, and so he's kind of an audio nerd. So I get to bounce a few things off of him when I was picking some of this stuff. But the equipment's amazing, but you actually don't need that much to get started. I mean, we were just helped out a friend of mine. And she got a mic, you know, it's a different mic than I got, but, you know, she sounds really great. Right. And that's all it is a USB mic. So, you know, and you can probably get it cheaper than that too. Right. It's, you don't even have to get that high end of a mic and you get something that sounds really good. And you can spend hundreds and thousands of dollars and all this stuff.
Yeah. And no, you know, people always ask me when they want to start a podcast, and I always say to them, start for as cheaply as you can. You know, because you don't know if it's going to work out, if you're going to like it and what have you. And if you do, you can move up to something else. And, but hell, we used a Zoom H6.
Yeah. I'm familiar with those. Those are the little recorders, which by the way, those work really great. You know, and that was actually something my son had suggested at some point, cause he uses it to do, you know, for Foley work to go out and record sounds that he then turns into other cool things. Right. So there's a lot. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And it depends on the kind of podcast you're doing. If you're sitting in your basement there with, I see your rack behind you, you know, you got all, there's, you know, that you got, you have one set of equipment. If you're out in the field trying to interview somebody, you're going to have different equipment, and you got to be able to mix it and match it. And, you know, and I know you got people that help you, you know, to do all the post-processing and upload it where it needs to go and all that. But yeah, there's a lot of logistics to it, but it doesn't take a lot to get started. You just have to have, you know, a voice and a will to do it. And it is something that, I go on and off on my podcast. Sometimes I'm pretty consistent and sometimes I'm not, but again, it's a hobby. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not doing it to promote anything other than just talk about what's on my mind.
Well, Damon, I want to get into it with you because I do have Troy Kalajdzian and his wife coming up right behind you. And then, believe it or not, I have the Andy Schreiber podcast coming up after that. I won't leave this room until probably midnight tonight. You just seem to be shrinking. You're smaller now than when you were the last time I had you on.
Yeah, in fact.
Go on.
Yeah. So
give us some background.
Okay. So I've been overweight most of my life, and I've been going through some old pictures and really, you know, I mean, it goes back to probably when I was, let's say I'd started maybe about the age of 10, I started getting overweight, not, you know, a little bit every year. And it was never, you know, there was never a time when I was, you know, that I, you know, I just ballooned up. It was just over time. And you know, and I grew up, I'm the same age as Anna Faccino. So I was a skinny little kid, and then the dietary guidelines changed and we started eating crappier and crappier food. And, you know, and so over the years I had gained a bunch of weight. And so in 2004, I was probably about 285 pounds, and I discovered the Atkins diet. And the Atkins diet is, you know, it's low carb, right? I mean, that's one of the diets that people went on. And I did lose a bunch of weight on that. I got down to 215 pounds. I had set a goal for myself back then to go to 195. And then I'd realized, even just like a couple of days ago, I was going through some old blog posts and I realized I had set the second goal, even though I hadn't gotten there yet. I'm like, cause okay, I'm getting close. So I know I can do a little bit better. So I said, I'll set the goal at 180. Now, the other thing that was going on in 2004 is wife and I had our second child. Things were, you know, life was very stressful. I fell off the wagon, and then I ballooned up, right? And, you know, and things got worse. And so in 2014, now keep in mind, I was working from home, doing a lot of traveling, so I was all over the place. But in fact, I went to the doctor in 2014 because I had to go get a vaccine for a trip. And that was the first time I'd been to the doctor in a while. And he's like, okay, you got type 2 diabetes, you got hypertension, you got, I was having migraines. I knew that. And sleep apnea was the thing. And so, I had swelling in my legs. I knew that. I just wasn't going to go to the doctor. And so, but you know, it's like, okay, now I know these things are an issue. And so, you know, when the
doctor, were you in 2014?
So I was, okay. So that was, now I got to think now. I was like 41 because because it's 7 years ago. Right. So, yeah. So here I am in my early 40s and I'm going, okay, so I got, so I've got all these things. And I remember that the nutritionist, cause of course they have you go to a nutritionist the first time you diagnose you with that stuff. And I say, okay, they want me to lose weight and they're telling me to eat 45 to 60 grams of carbs per meal. That's not going to work for me because I know what's going to cause me to lose weight because I did it on Atkins. Right. So, yeah. Atkins worked. The issue is I didn't really stick with it. And also I probably ate some, you know, some fake foods that I probably should, that, you know, since I've learned a bit more right since then. So, right. So now it took me, so I got, I remember a note from my doctor cause my A1C did go down cause my A1C was a 7.9. I'd gotten it down into the sixes somewhere, but then it went back up to 7.1. And my doctor wrote in, I remember the doctor writing in the note, borderline controlled. And I went, okay, this cannot be borderline controlled. This needs to be under control. And so, right. I wasn't sure how to get there at that point, and but what I had discovered somewhere in 2017 was Dr. Jason Fung and the Obesity Code. And, you know, and I read that and I read that book and I went, okay, this makes sense, right? So basically stop eating things that are going to raise your blood sugar and maybe not eat for a period of time, right? You know, all of these, it's like, that just made nothing but sense to me. And so I started down that road. And then of course that led to, that led to keto. Now I was always skeptical of keto, not because of the approach they took, but because it felt like what had happened to Atkins, because Atkins got really commercialized at some point, right? Probably right. After Dr. Atkins right. had passed away. So I went down the keto rabbit hole and while I was listening to some of the other podcasts that were available and of course I ran across you on Twitter, right? Because, you know, there's some circular lot, you know, there's some, you know, people circulate around. And so I'm like, oh, who's this Vinny Tortorich guy? Let me go look at him. Okay. So he's no sugar, no grains, right? I think get behind that. And, you know, his podcast is entertaining. This was probably 2018 or so, or given around that time. And so I started listening, and then I realized, and it's like, okay, Vinny's no bullshit. And he's exactly, if I'm going to listen to anybody, I'm going to listen to Vinny because he knows what it sounds like, he knows what he's talking about. So I start you know, dialing in my diet, and I get, and really, like, I'd say to the, I get to 2019 and I've lost 100 pounds at this point. So I'm down to about I'm down to about 230. Done no exercise at this point, right? But now I remember you saying you'll know when to start exercising. And so, and in February of 2019, when my wife decided to trade her Y membership for a treadmill that, frankly, I've used more than she has, I started running, and you know, and it's like, okay, well, And I tell you,
hey man, did it start with a walk? Did you just hop on a treadmill and go, fucking, I'm running? How did that work?
So I was okay. So what I did was, this was February 2019. Now I live in the Pacific Northwest. You know what the weather's like around here. It's not, you don't want to be outside too much. But yeah, so what I did, yeah, I started walking, and then I started kind of trying to get my heart rate up to zone two, and trust me, my heart was not in great shape back then, and so it didn't take me long before my heart rate got like way above zone two. And so I had to, you know, so I was walking and running a lot. And then I started going outside, and, you know, I remember when I ran my first mile without having to stop to, you know, because I was too winded, or the, you know, my heart rate was too high or whatever. So I built up, right. I just kept working at it a little bit, and my cardiovascular health has gotten much better. Now there's one other sort of factor here that comes in. So, I had went in, so the doctor had me on, you know, list of drugs, right? Metformin, blood pressure medication, statin, all this stuff, right?
And so you were on the whole fat man cocktail.
Yeah, I was on the fat man cocktail. Yeah. So, I eventually got off of all of these drugs, of course, because that's what happens when you start taking care of yourself. Your body figures out how to do it. Now, actually, the funny thing with statins, I challenged my doctor, and this is based on stuff that, of course, I heard on your program, and, you know, some of the, you know, and Dave Feldman, and, you know, Ivor Cummins, and all the other folks that have done that. And I said, okay. And I went to my doctor. I said, so why do you have me on a statin? He said, okay, but you know, your cholesterol's high or whatever. And I said, okay, it's a risk, you know, you got some risk factors. I said, well, let's find out what my actual risk is by doing a calcium scan. He said, okay, you know, they did it. Okay. They did an angiogram, but, you know, okay, it's just a little bit deeper of a scan. I had a calcium score of 0, which is fantastic. Right. However, they found I had an aneurysm, which nothing that they can operate,
nothing you can do.
Yeah, nothing I can do about it at this point, but it's not operable yet. So it's like, okay. So now my doc, one of the things, of course, this was around the time I started running. My doctor was like, yeah, keep running. I said, okay, I can do that. So pretty much every day I've run, you know, I mean, there's been, you know, with travel and stuff, it's sometimes hard to get, you know, to get a run in or whatever. But really, I've been running kind of nonstop, and I've gotten, you know, I mean, today I did 10 miles, which is a little bit more than I normally do. But, you know, it's normally like 5 or 6 miles, maybe 7 or something, but 10. And I mean, I did 16 the other day, and I went across the Narrows Bridge here and came back. You know, it was I'm not training for anything. I'm just doing it because I feel good. Right. And honestly, it's the only way I get out of the house these days. I have to keep an eye on my heart. That's really the only thing, the only issue I'm kind of concerned about. Everything else is like, you know, the last drug I got rid of was the blood pressure medication, and I basically just didn't get refilled for it, this year, because my blood pressure had crept up a little bit, but I've been kind of monitoring it, and I know my blood pressure's in the right range. So it took me a long time to get rid of really all the meds I was on. And I weighed myself today, right? And I've been, my weight is, it goes up or down, you know, a few pounds. I mean, the scale itself is a little bit inaccurate. Sometimes stress or, you know, affects things one way or the other. Here's a funny thing that just happened like not too long ago. So I went out, and I don't, I don't do this very often, but we went out to the Irish pub that just opened up here in Gig Harbor, and I went out and drank Guinness, which I don't, you know, again, I don't, you know, if you're starting out on NSNG, don't drink beer, but you know, when
not just any beer, that's like the thickest.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of richest beer on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to drink beer, right. And so, but right before that, there was something very, very stressful happened. I mean, like literally, like as we were driving there, something just, it was one of those kind of life changing moments. I won't get into it, but so I spent the entire night stressed out drinking beer. Instead of gaining 2 pounds, which is what I would normally expect after a night of drinking beer, I lost 2 pounds, which is, wow. Yeah. So, and that's the thing. I mean, there's lots of things that can, you know, it's like sleep, it's stress, it's all of these things. And in fact, in 2020, right? And so obviously 2020 happened and we're still in it. And it's 2020.1, really. Not, it's, you know, because it seems like a lot of the same stuff's still happening. I was a guy who traveled, you know, I was flying all over the world. And that came to a screeching halt, right? With COVID. And so literally, you know, and I mean, I was joking, but not really, that the only activities I could do in 2020 were run and drink, and I did a lot of, you know, I did a little bit of both, right? Well, I ran 2,700 miles in 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. But I also realized at the end of 2020, yeah, I was consuming a little bit more alcohol than I probably should, enough that my wife, you know, saw the empty bottles in the garage and went, "Do you have a problem?" Now, by that point, I had already made the decision. I'm going to ease off on this because this is not sustainable. And, yeah. You know, and I realized, especially with, you know, just how contentious everything got, you know, around the election, right? Especially on social media. I removed all those apps from my phone, and so I only use it on the computer for the most part, and I've also spent some time doing deep breathing and meditation and working on other parts of my life because
I don't want to take you off here, yeah. But I do have to ask, you know, I remember around election time everybody was on pins and needles, and I was sitting around, and I would even say to Serena, why do I not care about this? You know, it's like, why, you know, everybody's like the whole world depended on this election, right? And either we were going to get the blithering idiot that was in office already, or we were going to get a different blithering idiot that could possibly be as bad or worse, right? It was like, I was sitting there going, really? We don't have any good choices here. What are we doing? Like, what's going on here? Right? Why is everybody so concerned about this? Was I the only one, or?
Yeah, I think. Well, so what I was picking up on, and what was stressing me out really was all of the issue, just everybody else's stress. That's really all what was it for me.
Right.
And yeah, your Vizio's frozen up, but that's not.
Yeah. Yours has too. But the sound is still coming.
Okay. Now it's come back. Okay. So and I think so for me, right. It wasn't. I didn't, you know, I had no control over it. It didn't matter. You know, I mean, I knew what state my, where my electoral college votes were going just because of where I live. But, so it's like, it's nothing I had control over, but everybody else was losing their mind. And so it wasn't that people, you know, so for me, it wasn't that I was stressed out about it. I didn't care one way or the other. Everybody else was stressed out about it. And that stressed me out because I couldn't, it was hard to have conversations with people. It was hard to discuss anything.
Well, you know, you couldn't have a conversation with people. That's the thing, you know, and that's what concerned. Well, I was happy about one thing because I remember growing up, people just didn't vote at all. Right. You know, it's like people just said, it doesn't matter who you vote. I'm just not going to vote. At least people were voting again. I was going, great. We have Americans voting again. I love this, right? And that's still going on. We just had an election here in Virginia, and it was some kind of great turnout, right? Because they were afraid that a Republican can win a blue state? You know, and he did win. You know, it's like, but who cares? Who cares who wins, right? Does your life change when someone else is in office? No, it doesn't. These are policymakers. They make policy, right? That's all they do. And the policies never really change to matter.
Yeah, or they're made worse, and you know that's a whole other discussion, right? But people get all caught up on their team, right? And you know, I mean, you're sitting here wearing a Saints hat, and I mean, we all root for different teams and different parts of the thing, but you know, I'm for team humanity, right? And trying to get every I'm like you in the sense that I like to help people out. I like to try and get people in in a better place, right? And you know, I'm a geek guy, so of course I help them with geeky things, but this weight loss journey has really like inspired a bunch of people. I have people call me sometimes and say, hey, how have you done this? Or, hey, I've lost, I watched what you did and I dropped 50 pounds or whatever. So, you know, what you're doing is making a huge difference. And I know you know that, there's secondary and tertiary effects of, it's like, because again, I think the best way we can live is by example, right? I try to do that, try to do that here. It hasn't worked so well for my family, but certainly for other people in my life, it's like, wow, you've done such an amazing thing. I mean, I'm almost half the man I used to be. And that's why I've set my target weight is I want to get to 165 pounds so I can say and be honest, I'm half the man I used to be, right? It's kind of like the Beatles song, right? By the way, one of the things I love about your show is that that everything reminds you of a song, and that does me too. So you've enhanced my musical repertoire because there's things that I've either forgotten about or didn't know, and I went, oh yeah, okay, like a lot of the stuff that you play on the show, but because it's from YouTube likes to block it, etc. Yeah, it's I get all that.
Yeah, it's all kind of weird, but everything I hear reminds me of something, I play them in the shows, and if they ever want to cut that out, they could go ahead and cut it out, please. I mean, Steve Vai, nobody knew who he was until people started asking me about Bad Horsey. And at one point someone said, hey, Steve, this guy's using your song in the show. He goes, yeah, I heard about it. I actually went, look. He goes, I don't believe in what he does because Steve Vai is a vegan or a vegetarian. Yeah, but man, I really love that new people are finding my music. It's like these artists want it out there, right? But the suits are saying no. Which is weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it makes no sense. Yeah, I don't know. We just try and get by in the world and do what we can. And you've got some great people at your disposal that give you some great they're able to supply some of that extra stuff and the voiceovers by Mike August are really good.
Mike. Dawson
or Mike Dawson. Sorry. I don't know why I said August. I'm sorry. Anyway,
Mike August usually makes my life tougher.
Oh, sorry.
Talk to Mike August? He's trying to put me on the road to go do something. I was like, my God, I don't like going on the road.
Yeah.
I'm
well, comedian. Yeah. So that's, but yeah, I think one of the things I saw during the pandemic, and you've been commenting because you've been going traveling and you've been seeing people or even bigger than they were before, right? I haven't traveled anywhere in almost 2 years now, but I can see it on Zoom, right? I can say, okay, you gained 20 pounds, you gained 30 pounds, just kind of go through, you get like a team call together and you can see who's really been, who went what direction. And unfortunately, most people have gone the wrong direction. And I think it comes down to the fact that it's been stressful, right? That's why I mentioned why I failed the first time I tried to do this. It's because life was stressful and I didn't know how to deal with it. And if you don't, there's, I think in order to get healthy, you have to get healthy in many ways. It's not just diet. It's all. Diet's a great starting point. You can't change everything all at once. I get that, right? And I wouldn't recommend you try and change everything all at once. Now, diet, I will say for some of the issues that I was running that I've had over the years, a lot of them got better because when your body's eating the right things, you're not as impacted by other things that might be going on in the environment. Because when your body's all inflamed because you're eating, seed oils and your blood sugars are way too high or swinging or whatever, you end up in this, you just react so much worse to things. And so what it did for me really was, once I got I got things evened out. It's like, okay, so things that used to really bother me no longer bother me as much. And you just kind of go, huh, well, that's interesting, right? So I'm not going to say it's going to cure every single of your ails that you might have, but it's certainly going to help, I think, or it's not going to hurt. And yeah, I mean, I'd rather see people start with the diet and then say, okay, well, what else can I do? And that's the approach I took. I said, okay, let's focus on my diet and let's get that dialed in. And, you know, and I'm still dialing in the diet a little bit because, yeah, you know, you go through, the weight will go up. I mean, at the end of 2020, my weight had crept back up to 200 pounds briefly. And I'm like, okay, that's not happening. And so, and then I refocused and said, okay, I need to get my mindset right. And I know you're talking to, or you have talked to Dr. Robert Sivas, right? And he talks about, food being an addiction and that kind of thing. And, you know, and if you don't address why you eat, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, it does matter what you eat. You'll just do less damage, but ultimately you can overeat anything and you can be, you know, and you can gain weight because you've done that. And, there's no free lunch, right? But yeah, I think if you're just starting out, yeah, certainly focusing on getting the diet right is a good thing, but you really got to also optimize for things like sleep and stress and, you know, and your spiritual health and your mental health. You've got to work on all of those things, because if you really want to get to your goals, right, you've got to address all of those things because they're all related in some way, shape, or form. Because I know you've talked with people, you know, on the Saturday show that have gone off the rails for one reason or another, and it's almost always because of some stressful event. And if you can't handle that, you're going to go off the rails. And, you know, and it's okay once in a while to have a life into living moment or to make a mistake. You know, we all do that. But, and it's not how many, it's not that you fell off the wagon. It's how quickly you get back on and how many times you get back on, right?
Damon, one of the things that I've noticed, and I've been talking to a lot of people in the consults about this since the pandemic, you know, you mentioned 2020, you even had a problem. Some of these people are like, I'm not having life. Into living moments, but I've put on, as a matter of fact, before this podcast comes out, you'll hear the one from Courtney Suderman. And she talks about that. She's like, it wasn't one, you know, it wasn't like I was just having a cheat day or anything like that. She started adding an apple, which is in and of itself, an apple is not bad. It's sugar. If you're addicted to sugar, it is sugar. But she goes, I started putting, you know, nut butter on the apple. And next thing I know, I'm not just having a salad. I'm putting seed oil dressing with, you know, high fructose corn syrup on it. It was one little thing after the other, and boom, next thing you know, she's gained 20 of her pounds back. And she didn't even know how she had, you know, she couldn't figure it out until we got on the phone and started talking about it, you know?
Right.
That's what happens to people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for me, right? I mean, this is why I weigh myself probably multiple times a day, right? Actually, before I go out, because I usually do my runs in the morning. So first thing in the morning, I'll weigh myself, and then I'll go for a run and weigh myself again. So I usually lose a little bit of weight in that process. But the scale again kind of varies. And so sometimes it doesn't look like I've lost weight. But again, I got an idea of where I'm at. I don't worry about the number so much. I worry about the trend. Right. And so when the trend starts going the wrong direction, it's like, okay, something's wrong, right? I don't focus on the number so much as I focus on the trend line, and that things are either steady or decreasing and not increasing too much. And I know that, you know, again, if I go out and have a night where I'm drinking beer, then I'm going to gain some weight, and it's mostly water weight, and I will, you know, it will eventually get peed out. So, but that's, again, I know those things about myself. And so, I'm able, that helps me sort of, you know, get back on track if I'm having one of those moments. And so that's kind of how I do it. And that's, you know, I still check my blood sugar. I still check, you know, I still track that because, you know, my blood sugar is pretty stable, although some days it gets low, some days it's high, but I'd say the daily average is pretty much the same, right? It doesn't, because I'm not eating
that's
things
all you
that
you can hope for. You know, it's like a bank account; it goes up and down.
Yeah. So that's So it's you have to have some. For people, don't focus on the number on the scale, because that's going to drive you crazy. But you need to understand what that number is going to do based on what you're doing, and you can then make adjustments based on that. But but again, it's the trend line that's you get if it's going back up, that could be a problem if you're not, especially right. That's one of the reasons I go for a run every day, because I can tell you if there's a problem, I'm going to feel it when I go for a run. Because I run in sandals, so I'm not, there isn't a lot of cushion there. So I can feel it, if I've got inflammation somewhere, I'm going to feel it like in my knees, and I'm going to feel it, lots of places. And so, that's kind of how I know it's like, okay, then I need to take a step back. So, but you have to work on all these things. It's not just, you start with the diet, but then you move on and you actually, you start optimizing all these other things, because that's the only way I think you get to a long-term success. Cause that's where I failed with Atkins, is that I couldn't sustain the diet because, well, first of all, I didn't know. I don't think I knew enough back in 2000.
Right.
You didn't have the tools. Yeah.
You just didn't have the tools. David, let me ask you this. What was your highest weight, and where do you hover nowadays?
So I was at 330 pounds is the number that I remember. I stopped measuring it after that point, I think, because that was kind of the, okay, I know some people, you get it to the, they know to the decimal point, right? What their weight was. At that point, I'd kind of stopped. But that's the highest number I remember. And I know it had gotten higher than that at some point. But so for the last month, I've been hovering between 175 and 180. And I think the lowest I ever got was maybe 173, and I can tell you that it was that I've been waiting to do this. So it's my driver's license was needed. I was waiting until I could renew my driver's license, because my driver's license, my passport, all of my ID, except for the picture on the back of my Costco card, which was from 1997, none of the pictures looked like me because I had lost so much weight. And in fact, I had the last time I went to Israel, the passport folks were like, do you have a picture of you? Do you have any other ID that looks like you? Because this doesn't look like you. I'm like, yeah, I lost, however many kilos it was. But of course I look different. So I was waiting until I could actually go and get my driver's license done, which I did that. Because my driver's license said I was 230 pounds, which was never accurate. I passed that weight in both directions at different points, but then I got to, now my driver's license says 180, which, is actually a little bit higher than what I weigh.
Close enough. Yeah, but that's way close enough. I mean, look, even when I used to do the ultra cycling, and, I walk around, my walk around weight is 175. You and I are the same size. But when I would get into those ultra cycling events later in the season, it was impossible to keep weight on. I looked like a Biafran. Yeah. I would go down, to 155. So that's a lot of weight off of a guy my size, where I had no, I was basically muscle wasting at that point. And if anyone would stop me and ask for my ID, they would look at me and, you look gaunt. You've seen cyclists, you've seen Tour de France. Yeah. You don't look like the same human being. You lose everything. And
absolutely.
But you lost 160, 155.
So if I get down to 165, that's half. So I've lost 150 pounds.
Right. Incredible. Anything else before I let you? I like to keep these to 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I know how it goes. I really don't have. I think that was all that I had. I mean, I think there's a, but I think really it's just, the advice I have for anybody is, you're gonna fall off the wagon. Just get right back on, right? Don't let a mistake, or a life into living turn into a whole day, a whole week, a whole month, a whole year of being of getting off the wagon, because you're gonna feel like, feel like crap, and you're gonna regress. And if you get right back on, then you're not gonna lose any ground, really. You might a couple pounds, but that's gonna happen. I could eat the right food and still gain 2 pounds some days, right? It's just because of water, whatever. But But yeah, but also just don't think it's just that you can't just, you know, yeah, start with weight loss, but you're going to have to address all these other things. If you really want to get to this at the end of it and, you know, long-term get to that number that you want to be at, then I think you really got to get to, you know, you really got to start working on those other things too. And I think it's a, you know, and yeah, I'm, you know, and what's going to work for you may not necessarily been what works for me or vice versa. Right. So I think you got to be willing to try all these things. And yeah, and that's been the biggest lesson. And that was my lesson of 2020 was it's more than just diet. You really got to work on all these other things.
And by the way, I've always said this, you know, I used to rock climb a lot back in the 90s going into the early 2000s. And, you know, you know what the route is. You may have never been on a route, but sometimes you can't see more when you're standing on the ground and you're looking up at 700 or 800 foot rock wall. You can't imagine what it's going to take to get up that, but you can't even see your third move until you make your first move on the rock. And then you see, oh, wait, there's a handhold. There's a foothold. Wait, I can move here. I can move there. But you couldn't see it from the ground. You know, that's why I tell people just start. Don't worry about everything. Don't worry. Oh, you got to start a jogging program. Oh, I'm going to buy a Concept 2. No, you know, don't buy upgrades. Walk upgrades, and then at some point you will figure it out.
Which is exactly what I did with my running and stuff. So, yeah. Now, by the way, I know the pitch you're about to give because we're nearing the end of our time, right? So, obviously go to VinnieTortorich.com and click on the Amazon banner if you're an Amazon subscriber because you got to put coal on the fire and put train on Vinny's track, right?
You know, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a professional, but what I actually wanted to mention something about is Vinny's super fan page. Vinny puts out a lot of great content every 5 days a week. And, you know, and there's, you know, back catalog going back 10 years. Right. And it's all for free, right. It's all this stuff. And so what was this worth to you? This was 40 minutes of Vinny and I talking. Right. And what was this conversation worth to you? What was all the other conversations that Vinny has had with all these great guests? What are they worth to you? Put that in a number and go to Vinny's superfan page. It's called Value for Value, folks. You really gotta show Vinny the love here. Because I can tell you, this podcast ain't cheap to run. Vinny didn't share the exact numbers with me, but I know because I do a little bit of this myself. So I've got a good idea that the kind of listenership that Vinny has, because y'all listen, right? Vinny's got a great, he's got a great thing going here. Give him some money back. And, you know, it's funny when Vinny reads off some of the numbers, right? It's like, and those numbers are, you know, those numbers are meaningful to you, right? And it's, Vinny may not understand what those numbers are, though some cases it might be pounds. Or remember that lady that you had on that was the long distance shooting person that was, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's numbers like that, right? So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to give a lot of money, right? But give whatever, you know, $5 to some people might be a huge amount of money for other people, 500 is nothing, right? You know, whatever that number is, right? That, you know, go to the super fan page and give it to Vinny, because, you know, and he puts it to good use. So make sure that these podcasts keep coming, right? And he's providing a whole lot of value for you guys. And give something back, you know, and certainly spread the word, right? I mean, that's what there's also the Vinny Tortorich group on Facebook that you can join, and there's, you know, and he's on Twitter and Instagram and all that. Just, you know, spread the good word, right? If you know, even if you can't donate something financially, there's other ways to spread the good word, and honestly, like, you know, so I wanted to, because I hear that pitch all the time, and I'm like, I got to say something about this, because this is,
Damien, I think it goes sometimes, it goes into some people's ears and out the others, but excuse me, with other people, they hear it, you know, and I always make sure that they understand that I'm not making that money. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm at some point, I'm working on my new PDF. I'm going to actually put a dollar sign on that. I'm going to charge something for that, because at some, you know, some months we don't even cover on this podcast. Now we're coming up on Christmas time. More people go to Amazon. We have more people clicking through, and that's more money. But at some point, Amazon started cutting it in half and then a quarter of that. And that's when I had to start worrying. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm coming out of pocket every month just to do something. I'm not giving something away for free anymore. I'm now becoming a philanthropist. I'm actually paying to give this information to people. Right. And it's like, why should it be that way? And Anna and Serena and everyone said, well, just start mentioning the Superfan page again, because, and I see it every day. I see the people who come in. I read those names. I appreciate them. And you're right. Some people give $5 a month. Some people give $5 one time. Some people give, you know, like you lost 160. They'll give $160. They'll give people that lose 200 pounds, $200. Like that girl, the shooter, can't think of her name right now, something Paul.
That was Lindsay Paul.
Yeah. She gave me the amount, you know, she won this competition, and that's how far she shot in feet. You know, and, you know, I look at that and go, wow, man, thanks, because you guys are the reason that I'm not just pouring my money into this, because the fact of the matter is, I can shut this computer, never do another podcast, and just go pay people to promote my vitamins on Facebook and here and there and everywhere else, promote my coffee, promote NSNG lifestyles, NSNG foods. And I wouldn't be, my income would literally go up and I wouldn't have to do this. And that's a fact, right? I don't need this. I've created something else, and I still sell a book and I'm still making movies. So maybe I need this to sell that. I don't know. Right. But I shouldn't be, you're right. I shouldn't be coming out of pocket. It's not just that I'm breaking even. Sometimes I have to become this weird philanthropist just to get the information to people. And I really don't mind. Right. I really don't mind doing it, but it sure in the hell helps when people are showing that they appreciate it. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So yeah, I'll give Vinny some value because you're all getting it, right? I mean, I certainly get it. And, you know, I propagate the formula in other ways. And again, maybe you're not in a situation where you can actually give money, but there's other ways to give, right? Adam Curry talks about time, talent, and treasure, right? And all three of those things are important. And, you know, so, you know, I certainly invest in the community, you know, trying to help other people along and troubleshoot some of their issues on the, you know, in the Facebook group. And I certainly propagate the formula of, you know, of no sugar, no grains, and trying to get it, you know, trying to open people's minds to say, hey, there's another way to do this. And, you know, and not getting trying not to get into the debates about, you know, vegan versus, you know, carnivore, or, you know, cause it, you know, there's it's a spectrum, right? And that, cause it's just, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into the fight. I just want to show people, here's what you can do, right? If you put your mind to it, and you can find a way to do it, and people make excuses not to to do it, but it's like, yeah, you focus on it and you just keep working at it. You may not get there. I mean, look, I didn't get to 330 pounds overnight. I got there. I mean, it took me, you know, 40 years of my life to get to that point. And, sure, you know, so, and I haven't, you know, and I haven't been 100 and, you know, I think the last time I was 165 pounds is probably middle school. You know, so it's been, you know, so it takes me that, you know, that amount of time to, you know, yeah, that's just the way it goes, right? You're not going to get completely where you want to be overnight.
You got it, folks. You've been listening to Damian Welch Abernathy. He's been on the show before. He'll be on the show again. You can go check him out. The podcast is called Phone Boy Speaks. You know what to do. Amazon. We already talked about all that stuff. Fan page, blah, blah, blah. On behalf of Damian, my name is Vinny Tortorich. Put life into living and do it with what? Oh, I don't know. Maybe Nirvana.